Ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. New Zealand's unconventional news. We have a very special guest for you for our Kiwi collaborator section today. A good friend of mine. His name is Andrew Hendry, the director of the Natural Health Care Centre in Wellington in New Zealand, the largest natural and holistic health care centre we happen to have. Andy, welcome to the program, mate.
Hey, Vinny, how are you?
You know my party line, bro, borderlining on fabulous.
Great.
Now, we've got a couple of different things that we're going to be discussing while we've got you for the duration of this hour. But in this first short segment, I'd love you to just kind of introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them a little bit about what you're all about, mate.
Yeah, okay, sure. Well, I've been involved in the natural health industry for around 6 or 7 years now. Originally got involved when I was diagnosed by my doctor as having high cholesterol, and he says to me if I didn't do something about my health, I'd have to be on drugs for the rest of my life. Well, that wasn't really a palatable outcome for me, so I went about my own journey of seeking, and I guess around about the same time, my partner had some of her own health conditions, which sort of resulted in mildly debilitating sessions whereby she'd, just hanging out the washing would kind of tire her. So we're both kind of looking at nutrition and supplements and things like that, and it really grew from there. After a couple of years of finding out sort of the truth around healthcare, I ended up opening a natural health centre, and then a couple of years after that, I acquired another one, and really it's gone from there.
And what I find very interesting about you, Andy, is that you've managed to keep very youthful over these years, and I would in no small way attribute that to the practices that you've adopted.
Sure, yeah. Well, I've been taking vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids and drinking lots of water and eating whole foods for many years now. So, it's a very, very basic formula, very simple, but it's very effective. And I've seen seen great results just from simply doing that with lots of people.
Yeah. Well, and it's the thing, right? We've got this mainstream medical establishment that kills more people than it saves.
Fourth biggest killer in the world in most Western countries.
Yeah. Well, are they the fourth biggest saver of life, though? I mean, like, it's the interesting thing. We've got death statistics to draw on, but we don't have any survival statistics to go on. But I don't think it's like the majority of people who go to hospital don't come out again. You know, it's not like it's the Willy Wonka factory. Nobody ever goes in and nobody ever comes out. But it's pretty close.
At the food they feed them in hospitals, it's not really much of a surprise.
Yep, it's just not on. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest from the Natural Health Centre in Wellington, New Zealand, is Andrew Hendry, and we'll be right back after the break.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the skies. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, live on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Our very special guest joining us from Wellington today, the windiest and most highly concentrated region of the country, if you're talking about political action, really. I mean, they got some very, very hardcore groups down there. Big shout out to Wellington, 9/11 Truth, several members of which we have had on the show. Now, Andy, we wanted to get into natural options for cancer sufferers, because cancer's really, really big at the moment. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that cancer is bigger than Jesus. And it sends a lot of people that way. Now, what are some of these natural options for cancer sufferers that you talk about?
Yeah, well, I guess it always surprises me that cancer is a disease that's such hard work for the Orthodox establishment. It's probably because they're trying to treat it with toxic drugs. And if you look at the testimonies of some of the leading doctors and naturopaths in this area, they'll tell you that cancer is caused by excess toxicity. So, of course, trying to treat it with more toxins, you know, it's going to lead to one thing, and that's not health. Really, the way to treat cancer is to use natural substances that allow the body, which is its own healing mechanism, to heal itself. So, you know, I've spoken to and worked with many naturopaths and integrated doctors that have had amazing success in curing cancer. For example, one naturopath that I know personally and am friends with has cured over 1,000 cases of cancer in the last 20 years, a 100% success rate. Of course, she's been pursued and by the Orthodox establishment, and she often operates in a lot of fear, so she's kind of underground a wee bit. But you know, I can speak right now of three cancer cures that you could, that you can basically produce from your kitchen. I'm not sure if any of your listeners have heard of the Budwig formula, which is simply a mixture of cottage cheese and flaxseed oil. There's also another one made up of maple syrup and bicarb of soda. I knew a naturopath who had successfully used that to treat a tumour the size of a softball. One day the individual took a little bit too much of that mixture and experienced an extreme amount of pain throughout the night, but woke up the next morning to find that the tumour had halved in size. There's also another famous recipe that's come out of South America, which is a mixture of aloe, arborescence, and organic honey, which effectively makes active the 300 phytonutrients in the aloe and gives a huge amount of support to the cells. So it's really talking about cellular health as opposed to health using synthetic drugs and surgery. So if we can support the cells, then by nature, we're going to have healthy organs. And that's pretty much consistent with a lot of the chronic illness.
Well, I totally agree. That's the basis of holistic health, isn't it? It's about feeding the actual cell and the mitochondria of the cell and the cell function in general, isn't it?
What's the difference between holistic health and natural health, though?
Well, holistic health, I mean, there's obviously lots of different definitions you'll find, but to me, holistic health is effectively an identification that the body is more than simply what we see at a physical level. So, for example, you know, I could talk about the seven chakras within the body. I can talk about different bodies, the etheral body, the mental body, the emotional body. It's really treating illness by using a full body of knowledge, not just what our science can observe and see. So that's holistic health. Natural health, of course, is using natural substances like, plant-based remedies and vitamins and things, as opposed to using anything that's synthetic. Because what we need to remember, and a very important point, is that any synthetic substance that you put into your body requires your body to go through a detoxification process to remove. So that by nature includes all synthetic drugs, because for a drug to get a patent, it needs to be modified. So they're really the two definitions. So, you know, treating the whole body using natural substances is natural and holistic health.
And of course, Western healthcare, I say this word operatively because they kind of use that same methodology pretty much everywhere now, not just in the West. In my opinion, it almost does more damage than it than it stops. And you know, there's well documented evidence that natural health and holistic health is far more effective at treating disease. For instance, in the Spanish flu outbreak in the early 1900s, I think it was something like 2% of people who went to see a naturopath to help them with their symptoms died. And something like 70% of people who went to see their doctor died.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite a disparity.
Indeed. I mean, I guess we need to be fair and say that, you know, if I was to have a car accident or some sort of traumatic incident, you know, there'd be one place I'd want to be, and that is in a modern hospital. So certainly for your trauma conditions and for your acute conditions, which are short term, you know, they have amazing technology that you know allows them to keep people alive and all that, but it's really the treating of chronic illness, which is your long term illnesses, with synthetic drugs and surgery. It's not been successful, and I can't imagine that it ever will be successful. You know, all we're doing with synthetic drugs is suppressing symptoms, and you know, surgery is a somewhat primitive way of administering healthcare. If we can
integrated approach? I mean, like, for example, if you walk into a hospital and there's the people that will treat you for chronic conditions and things of that nature, which you're saying about, and then, of course, you go down the other way, which is the accident and emergency room. I mean, would that be a better model of perhaps running the healthcare system?
Yeah, for sure. And that's what we're seeing in recent years is these integrated healthcare centres opening up around the world and actually being very, very successful, whereby we have doctors who are open to some of these natural modalities, working with naturopaths and acupuncturists and all sorts of different types of therapists getting together. That really is an ideal way, because what we get, the advantage of modern science and modern technology coupled with you know, the traditional way of treating illness using plants and natural substances.
But there's a lot of resistance to that kind of idea, isn't it, from orthodox medicine. They basically say, oh, that's quackery, and they lie all the time as well. You know, like this recent thing with, example, Alan Smith, who's cured of swine flu with high-dose vitamin C, and they say, oh, there's no evidence, even though there's 70 years of documented evidence, and it's approved by MedSafe.
Yeah, it is extraordinary, really. I don't understand why so many doctors are really so close to any other approaches to healthcare, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, synthetic drugs is not the only way to fix someone's body. And I've seen it just time and time again. You know, when I was working in my health centres at an operational capacity, every day I would see miracles walking out of there. You know, for example, one woman who had some kidney transplant 10 years earlier and had to take something like 25 pills a day, had not slept more than 2 hours a night for almost a decade. Now, prescribed a simple magnesium supplement by our naturopath, and 2 weeks later she came back to see us, and you know, within a week she was sleeping like a baby 8 hours through the night. Now, the fury that she levelled at her doctor for not telling her to simply take some magnesium to help her sleep was quite something. So, you know, why they're not educated, why they're not open, I don't know, but it's not a great situation. I think many people in the community are now working out that they can, you know, get back their healthcare by finding these things out for themselves, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Is that if you are in any way sick or whatever, you're probably going to be a lot more healthy if you take responsibility for your own health, rather than what's happening nowadays is that people are kind of abdicating all their personal responsibility and saying, oh, doc, just give me a pill. I don't care how it works or why it works or anything, just as long as it works. And, you know, and because of the fact that they have that sort of apathetic approach to it, they'll take these pills even though they don't work, and they'll keep taking them because they don't even decide to do any modicum of research about it.
Mm. You've cracked the nut on the head there. And, you know, the two big words are personal responsibility. You know, don't go and give the responsibility for your own health to anybody. You know, your health, it's not like your car. It's not like, I've got a problem with my car, I go to the mechanic. I've got a problem with my health, I go with my health, I go to the doctor. You know, your body is what carries your human experience. And when that stops working, then that's the end of your experience, you know. So it is something to take very seriously. And there is so much misinformation out there in the community about, you know, healthcare. That it's really up to the individual to go and research for themselves and find out, and also work out what works best. I mean, for example, acupuncture is a hugely successful and popular natural modality, but for me, it really doesn't do a lot, you know. But I find other types of modalities are very, very successful that might not be successful for other people. So again, it's about finding out what works for you, best for you. The orthomolecular medicine guys have really got it when they say it's about individual, it's about the individual, you know. It's everyone's different, and we've all got to find out what works best for us. So,
well, yeah, and this is the difficulty that we have. I mean, when we've got government agencies involved here, if you find out that there's something wrong with it, getting to the point where you're actually even capable of changing it is a uphill battle. In fact, it's more of an uphill battle when you're trying to push a bulldozer that's broken down up over that hill, and all you've got is a couple of slaves to do it.
indeed.
You know, and the difficulty with this kind of thing is that advocacy gets blocked on every single sector, and this is of course not defined specifically to the healthcare industry. I would assume that if you are challenging any establishment, regardless of whether that be healthcare or not being an inside job, then you're always going to experience vast amounts of opposition and indeed demonization and criticism. Now, would you be able to divulge a little bit, Andy, in your experience? What have you experienced, any of that kind of nonsense with the practices that you're promoting?
No, we haven't. The way that the businesses are structured, we haven't had too much problems with regulators coming in. But you know, I'm aware of others that have had some problems. I mean, really, I think looking to what happens in the USA with the FDA is probably the best example of regulators, you know, having quite a heavy-handed approach to dealing with you know, that which threatens them, really. But we have to remember that the pharmaceutical drug industry is probably one of the biggest industries in the world. And you know, it's a well-quoted fact that in 2003, the top 10 drug companies earned more profit than the remaining 490 companies in the Fortune 500. So we're talking about an extraordinary amount of money, and all that money buys a whole lot of lobbyists. And I know that just in Wellington here, we have approximately 500 drug lobbyists that are, you know, talking to our bureaucrats, talking to our politicians with big fat salaries and big fat credit cards. You know, that gets an awful amount of influence, you see. I mean, when we think about then the number of lobbyists that we'd find in the USA and Australia and throughout Europe, you know, the numbers would be probably even higher.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, do we even have a register of lobbyists in New Zealand?
I'm not too sure, actually.
Because I was thinking that I think it was Penny Bright that was talking about this, that we needed one, which led me to believe that we don't have one in the first place. So it must be very, very easy for lobbyists to get in there if they're not required to even register who they're working for.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it wouldn't serve the lobbyists for that to be, so they'd be working pretty hard to avoid that. In the same sense that the iatrogenic death toll, that is the death toll as a result of doctors, that count was discontinued, I think, in about 1995 because of publishing how many people are dying because of their doctor through, you know, properly prescribed, properly administered pharmaceutical drugs is not ideal. So, yeah. You know, we're looking, when you consider, you know, pretty much all the Western countries, you know, I'm talking about Britain, America, and certainly New Zealand, it's pretty consistent that the iatrogenic death toll is about three times the road toll. So, for example, in New Zealand, last count was around 1,500, and our road toll is about 400 or 500. In the UK, the road toll is around 3,500, and you know, the iatrogenic is about 10,000 there. And in the States, it's around 100,000 people die as a result of drugs and their doctors. So, you know, the numbers are getting up there.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. When the news reports on car accidents, it's like they will report on a car accident where even one or two people got injured, but they will. But I have yet to see any reporting of any equal stature on. A person got injured by their doctor, or a person got killed by their doctor, or anything like that. It's just totally unbalanced. That's insane. It's almost like there's an agenda going on here to cover up for the medical industry. You know, I mean, maybe this is a conspiracy theory, but maybe it's done intentionally. I don't know. But the fact is, yeah, they don't report on how dangerous the medical industry is. They do report on how dangerous it is to go about driving. And I don't know about you, bro, but I've been to a hospital very, very few times, and I've been driving a heck of a lot. So if driving was as dangerous as the news made out, I probably would have been to hospital more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my bag about it, you know, because I just don't get it, because I think about things, you know. that's my problem, you know. People say, oh, Vinny, you shouldn't think, mate, you know, it's too hard, it's not worth the effort.
Yeah, sometimes it is, especially when it comes to your healthcare.
Oh, straight up, man. I mean, jeepers creepers. What is taking responsibility for your own health ever done for anybody?
Saved many lives.
Yeah. It saved many a life, because when you know about how to keep yourself healthy, you know how to make sure that you don't wind up getting sick, so that you don't wind up going to hospital and getting killed by them. Might be a bit of a carte blanche statement there, but there you have it.
Yeah, well, it's probably good advice, actually. If you can keep out of hospital, it's ideal. And you do that by, you know, taking your vitamins and your minerals and essential fatty acids and antioxidants, drinking lots of water and whole foods, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of what detoxifying the body itself. And currently, I mean, nobody would argue, unless, of course, they were retarded, that that we're living in a toxic environment. All right. You know, indeed. It is so, so gross out there, man. You walk into a supermarket, you have a look at all the things that are supposed to be healthy, like the fruit and vegetables, and they're either GMO or they're nutrient deficient, or they don't have any enzymes left because they've been kept in the deep freeze, or, you know, this, that, or the other. And then beyond that singular aisle of possible healthy stuff, then you've got about 10 or 20 more aisles full of stuff that is definitely not good for you and will most likely kill you if that's the only stuff that you eat. Our very special guest from the Natural Health Center in Wellington is Andrew Hendry. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, continuing on the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, The Vinny Eastwood Show.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
Yes, he has. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show on the fastest 2 hours in talk radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. I got it out loud. Our very special guest joining us from the Wellington Natural Health Centre is Andrew Hendry. Now, before the break, we were talking about the supermarkets and that kind of thing. And, you know, I think the song kind of really embodies the transportation of food is something that I'm really kind of ticked off with, is because, you know, it costs a lot in terms of nutritional value, and not to mention in terms of petrol, to transport ridiculously huge amounts of products all over the place instead of having a local supplier, which is, well, basically the opposite. And what's your take on this, Andy?
Yeah, well, a lot of people say to me, look, if I eat a balanced diet, why do I need to take extra supplements? But if you look to the science of our food these days, and when I say science, I'm always very careful because there's really two types of sciences. There's the science that we all sort of understand and believe to be correct, and then there's what I call ethical science. So there's been so much corporate sort of fiddling of so many scientific studies, and in fact, in 2005, the American journal Nature published a study whereby they'd surveyed a huge number of scientists and found that about 20% of them were prepared to cook their data or change their data to suit the company that was sponsoring the study. So we know from that study that at least one-fifth of all science is probably not correct, you know. So when I look to the scientific studies, I make sure that I understand who has written them, what their intentions were, who's funding them, and all those sort of things. So looking at some ethical science on our soils, we find that it's around about half the amount of nutrients in our soils today that we had 50 years ago. So, you know, straight away, when they're being taken out the ground, they're about half as nutrient rich. Then, of course, as you say, you know, we're transporting them halfway around the country, halfway around the world, which further affects the nutrient value. So a chap called Patrick Holford, a very, very famous British chap who founded the Institute of Optimum Nutrition, he states in his book that the average, to get 1 gram of vitamin C, you'd need 22 supermarket oranges. You know, now typical mammals that are our size secrete about 3 to 6 grams each day. So, you know, to get our daily dose of vitamin C, we'd need to eat at least 66 supermarket oranges. Well, that just ain't going to happen, you know. So,
WHO's rating for what's the RDI as estimated by the World Health Organization? Is it like 200 milligrams?
No, it's 50. It's 50 milligrams for vitamin C for the RDA, which is well, they call it the recommended daily allowance, but it's really more appropriately termed ridiculous dietary arbitraries. They really don't mean a whole lot, you know. They're successful in stopping sort of the scurvy and the rickets and all those hideous diseases of 100 odd years ago. But if you're talking optimum nutrition, you really, really need to get it a lot higher. So, you know, humans and monkeys are two mammals that don't secrete our own vitamin C. So, you know, when you look at a typical mammal about the size of a human, they tend to secrete between 3 and 6 a day, 3 and 6 grams a day of vitamin C. You know, a goat secretes 13 grams, and when they're stressed, they secrete around 100 grams. So, you know, 50 milligrams, which is what, 1/20th of a gram, is really insignificant. So it might have been successful saving the sailors on the boats, but it's not going to give you an optimum functioning body.
At the same time, though, our governments, like here in New Zealand, would recommend against taking vitamin C supplements even, saying it's just not necessary or some of them are dangerous.
I mean, the idea that they're dangerous is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there are certain conditions whereby vitamins aren't beneficial, for example, vitamin A for pregnant women and things like that. So you do have to have some degree of awareness. But for the most
part... Synthetic vitamin A is quite dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, but for the most part, the toxicity level of most vitamins is so extraordinarily high, you'd really struggle to reach it. The best book I can recommend on this is from Patrick Holford. It's called The Optimum Nutrition Bible. It's around about sort of $50. If you're going to make any investment in your healthcare, go and buy that book, because that really covers everything you need to know in one simple package on how to deal with your health. So
say the title of that book again, sorry?
It's Patrick Holford, and it's called H-O-L-F-O-R-D, The Optimum Nutrition Bible. Now, he founded, about 25 years ago, he founded the Institute of Optimum Nutrition in the UK, and he's now recognised as probably the best speaker on mental illness and on nutrition in the UK. He spends a lot of time consulting with government and that, and he's done some fabulous work. In addition to that, I recommend also your listeners look at the body of knowledge, which is called orthomolecular medicine. Now, that science was founded by a chap called Linus Pauling. is a very, very famous scientist. In fact, he's arguably the greatest American scientist ever. And he is, in fact, the only human to have ever won 2 Nobel Prizes in separate categories. So, you know, he's no insignificant man. He was the one who really pioneered the whole vitamin C megadose sort of approach to treating disease. And from that has grown a large body of knowledge supported by some of the world's top integrated doctors around the whole mega vitamin and superfood nutrition for dealing with illness. So useful website is orthomolecular.org. So there's just a couple of areas that I would recommend that your listeners sort of research and look into if they're concerned about really winning back their health.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, Andrew, is that orthodox medicine itself and in this, you know, so-called Western industrial society, I mean, how are they training doctors? Because I was under the impression that nutrition forms a huge part of health, right? But they don't train medical doctors very much in nutrition and in some cases not at all.
Mm. Yes, it's been an area of a lot of interest for me. I mean, exactly how much training are our doctors given in nutrition? Because it's my belief that superfood nutrition and megavitamin therapy has a huge impact on health. And, you know, for years now, I've been asking people that are in the know, you know, how many hours? And the responses I get is between 2 and 8 hours is the typical amount of time or training that a doctor is given throughout the period of his degree. So what are they, 5 or 6 years to become a doctor? You know, so, you know, 2 to 8 hours, sometimes 5 hours, that's not a lot, you know. That's not a lot given the extraordinary amount of evidence there is to suggest that nutrition and vitamins have a huge impact on health.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, like, surely solving the problems before they manifest themselves in our bodies and in society as a whole is the way to go. But, you know, to think of all the hardship and problems that are caused in society through just the basic malnutrition. And then people go out and think you're a health freak if you have any interest whatsoever in furthering your own sort of, and bettering your own health. People think, oh, you're strange. It's like anything. It's like trying to learn anything about your government. You're a weirdo all of a sudden because that's society's conditioned.
I mean, the question is, how do you want to spend the last 10 years of your life, you know? And I'd much rather spend it out enjoying nature and that than sitting in a hospital bed feeling pretty terrible.
I don't know. Adult diapers is my preferred methodology.
but it's all this live young, you know, live fast, die young sort of approach. And I'm tell you, the girls my age are just looking haggard, some of them. I mean, they're on the booze every night. And I mean, it's really kind of showing.
It's like the 7 visible signs of nihilism, you know.
I mean, I think everyone knows that young people love getting out and socialising and doing all sorts of fun things. But, you know, and it's probably a phase that they'll work through. But, again, they can support their health by you know, eating properly and taking proper supplements and, you know, consuming vegetable juices. You know, all of that stuff helps support the immune system to sort of carry them through their partying days and sort of pop out the other side and still have some health to work with.
And, you know, on that subject also, it's manufactured culture, isn't it? Their partying days, as if it's like, you know what I mean? I'm not having to dig at you, but I'm just saying the way that's accepted in society, that phase of our existence from 16 to 24 or whatever, it's just such a manufactured, concocted figment of culture. It sickens me, really.
They seem to value it above all else is what I find interesting. Like, for example, if you're actually doing something with yourself or doing something important in your life, they say, oh, bro, you just need to get a life. And by get a life, they mean go out and get drunk and get laid.
Yeah, that's always getting a life. How many times have we heard that? I mean, didn't we have that the other night, Vinny? We're at this barbecue and we're talking to some guy about 9/11 being an inside job. And he's like, you got too much time. I mean, it's always the same argument, say, get a life, you've got too much time, and then you tell people you've got a life, and they're just like, get arrested, get incarcerated, kill yourself, do something. So just get out of our hair,
swallow
get
the
out
stuff
of our
under
time.
The sink, you know. doesn't make any sense, right, does it?
Empty out the U-bend into your throat.
Yeah, and this is the connection I find, Andy, don't you think, between a toxic environment and toxic personality? You know, like every single person who comes up to me and they say, oh man, this person was a real asshole to me, man. They were so cruel. They were so stupid. And I say, what do they eat? And they say, well, nothing but meat and drink Coca-Cola. And I say, well, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah. All low vibration stuff. I mean, you know, we talk about the chemicals in our food and the toxic environment, but you know, when you look at the thousands of chemicals that are released when someone, you know, into the body, when someone gets angry or sits on jealousy for many years, I mean, you know, they're just as damaging as the artificial ones we bring into our body. So, you know, not only healthy food, but also healthy emotions, healthy perspectives on life, that you know, it's all part of sort of the whole holistic health package. So, yeah, it is a complete and whole approach, really.
Well, and I suppose that's what you call balance, right? And it's like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the key to balance is being able to swing to either extreme and still being able to come back to the center. It's once you swing one way or the other and you cannot return, that's when you're in real, real trouble. Like, for example, if you can't think of doing anything else but getting up in the morning and having a cigarette and drinking, you know, like a fifth of vodka or something like that, and then going out partying, and that's the only thing you can do, and you don't know how to do anything but that, then you're in a very, very dangerous position where basically you're compromising everything that you're capable of being for the rest of your life because you're not actually able to expand yourself.
Indeed, yeah.
It's the idea, though, of just eating health, eating living, vibrant, chlorophyll-rich plants. I mean, just that idea, it makes sense, right? Like,
yeah, it does.
Nature is designed to appeal to our senses. I mean, I know a lot of things are bright and vibrant and poisonous too, but
think our grandparents, or certainly our great-grandparents, you know, pretty much ate 100% organic food. You know, it's only really since the Second World War that these thousands and thousands of chemicals have entered our food chain. And, you know, we don't really know where this is going, but, you know, it's oftenly quoted that, you know, this generation of children will be the first generation to die younger than their parents. Well, that's not exactly a progressive way forward, is it, given the amount of science and technology that we have?
Yeah, well, it is progressive if you take the meaning of progressive to mean communist.
The Japanese have a different culture, though, don't they? I mean, the Japanese, I've read that the most prominent supplement taken there is Yayama chlorella, which they grow in these giant farm-type systems. I in fact, consume some myself. But, I mean, that's widespread in Japan, and they actually have the highest life expectancy in the world.
Yeah, the Japanese are well known for their diet. I mean, they eat a lot of raw fish. You know, they eat a lot of vegetables and so, you know, a lot of fish, all the fish oils, highly beneficial, of course, so...
Well, and it just goes to show you how much of an effect a basic diet can have, you know. I mean, it's garbage in, garbage out. I mean, let's say I remember I was friends with somebody in Dunedin who used to use heroin, and she actually still looked very, very young and very, very healthy. And she said, the difference between me and all the other junkies that I was associating with is I took care of my body. I made sure that I ate, I made sure that I drank lots of water, and I made sure that I took lots of vitamins and minerals. Everybody else turned into like this skeletal type vomitous figure, and she remained more or less healthy whilst whacked out on smack. So there you go. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Andrew Hendry, but we don't advocate smack, and we'll be right back after the break.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business time.
Yes, it
that's
is.
What you mean. You mean it's business time.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in conjunction with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Our very special guest, Andrew Hendry, joins us on the line here. Now, a final segment here, we wanted to talk about little things that everybody can do to improve their health. What's your advice, Andy?
Well, I've, over the years, been lucky enough to watch some amazing integrated doctors and naturopaths present and have conversations with them. And through that time, I've noticed a common thread of recommendations that they come forward with. So I kind of give people the same advice when I'm asked that question. And that is to establish a platform of supplementation using multivitamins, multiminerals, essential fatty acids, which are your omega-3s, and antioxidants. That seems to be the common thread of advice that's given. Multivitamin. So there's 17 vitamins, and you want to make sure that if you're buying vitamins, that they're as natural as possible, of course. But sometimes our budgets don't always allow that. But you've got a good broad range of those vitamins. Multi-minerals, you want to ensure that you're not only getting all the macro minerals, which is your magnesiums and your zincs and all that, but also all your trace minerals. So there's around 70 trace minerals that have been identified as being beneficial. So a good mix of vitamin and minerals. Essential fatty acids, well, I use flaxseed oil. I tend to use a plant-based omega-3 as opposed to using fish oils. I know that a lot of people like fish oils, but I just think that we're already doing enough to our global fisheries without devastating them more, and consuming plant-based supplements I think is preferable for me. There's also the other thing that there tends to be a lot of mercury in fish these days, so I use flaxseed oil. And antioxidants, well, there's plenty of delicious berry drinks that you can buy. I try and eat as close to nature as I can. So if I can avoid taking a pill and get my concentrated supplements in the form of foods, then that's something that I like to do. Of course, you can't forget the other basic routines, which is making sure you're getting plenty of fresh water each day, preferably without fluoride in it. At least a litre or two. Fresh veggies, fresh fruits, organic if possible, lots of nuts and seeds, whole foods, your beans, your legumes, your lentils. And of course, good lean meats. I'm not a vegetarian. I enjoy my fish. I love that. White fish, salmon. I eat a little bit of red meat, and I like chicken too. So, that tends to be the advice I give people when asked.
Well, I think that if we're ever really going to get everybody healthy, okay, everybody kind of needs to follow methodologies that work. And currently, the whole method of the supermarket doesn't work, because if anybody's going to get any real nutritional value, you're not going to get it from there. And I'd question even whether or not organic food stores, whether or not you can get the proper nutrition there, or because I would think that possibly a smaller scale as possible would probably be the most effective. For example, having a garden in your backyard will be far more beneficial to your own nutritional requirements than any amount of supermarket food. Oh yeah, and in the United States now, you can get fined up to $5,000 for growing an organic garden in your backyard.
Well, no, the larger point is if they're spraying aircraft around the place with aluminium and mercury, and acidifying our soil so that we can't grow anything, or that we've got these heavy metals landing on our fruit and vegetables. I mean, that's a worry.
How are you watering your garden these days? You're watering it with fluoridated water a lot of the time, aren't you?
That's exactly right. You're really getting concentrated amounts of fluoride in your diet. So certainly removing that from your water is highly beneficial. I think,
purchasing cereals, most people have.
Purchasing organic food is great, but I still don't believe that you're going to... I mean, purchasing organic food would give you good nutrition, but I'm interested in optimum nutrition. I'm interested in high vitality. Now, I've done a bit of work with an integrated therapist over in in Sydney, and they had had a huge amount of success using oral, what's called oral chelation therapy. So what that means is you basically really nutrient saturate the body. And what they found when they really, really put a whole load of vitamins and minerals into the body, they found that it was starting to naturally detox. So they were having huge amounts of success removing heavy metals from the bodies of people by just really giving them a whole load of vitamins. So obviously yep. they had a lot of experience. I don't recommend that people go out and do this without talking to a naturopath or a health professional, but it just shows you, you know, that the more you take, the more beneficial it can be, and you're going to chase out all those chronic illnesses that we seem to think that hit us at the end of life sort of arbitrarily. You know, a lot of it's just excess toxicity, excess acidity within the body, so alkaline, you know.
Yeah, and people just call it, oh, it's just natural die-off, you know, it's just natural. Yeah, but on the subject of supermarkets, that in itself is a graphic demonstration of how centralized the power has become and how our basic right to grow and produce our own food has been taken away from us. And that's why I'm against the idea of cramming people into compact cities and calling it civilization. We all go to the same supermarket and have packaged foods with 10 layers of plastic over them, and you know, it's just the whole idea of it's alien, and it's what I see it as a communist ideal. I see it as anti-freedom.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Have you got a website there?
We have a website, www.nhc.co.nz. It's more for the therapists. If you want to take a look at some of the different modalities that are available.
All right. Andrew Hendry, ladies and gentlemen, from the Natural Health Care Centre in Wellington, New Zealand. And we'll be back tomorrow with, more awesome stuff, really. I hope so. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and we'll see you again.